Operate Reel 2.
You then went on to plan, and there's not much description that I can find of the battle that you had there.
Before we do that, can I just make one further point about Mervyn?
Right, sure, yeah.
Have you read this book by Alan Jefferson?
Yes.
Well, I don't know whether you know, but there's been all sorts of a hell of a row about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I made an official complaint to the Colonel Commandant of the regiment about Mike Gray.
Yeah.
Because Mike Gray put in his foreword his title, his regimental title, Deputy Commandant General. And we said, and we still say, that made it at least demi-official.
Right.
But, what is his name, the traffic Jeffrey
Hullet.
Hullet, who I'd never met to my knowledge.
Yeah.
He said, no, it didn't have the official backing. But, Jefferson has taken the German point of view as to what we did or what we did not do to the gun.
Right.
And there's been all sorts of argument about it, and the word destroy has been used and overdone.
Right.
But my orders were to neutralize.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
they were.
I quoted the Oxford Dictionary. I won't go into this Jefferson business. It has caused, except to say it's caused an awful lot of rumpus.
Yeah.
And, I think that's a point. I don't know how best to deal with it, or just leave it alone. It has upset a hell of a lot of men.
Yeah.
They did the best they could.
Right.
And the thing that did surprise me was that Lehman, who was the CRE at the time, was quoted in Jefferson's book, basically saying it was would be impossible to blow the guns. My people were trained and instructed as to how to do it by Lehman's own sapper.
Were they?
Yeah. But yet Lehman says he can't do it. So what do you make of that?
Well, the Lehman was what? The CRE?
CRE, yeah. Ended up as a brigadier, I think. Retired as a brigadier.
Yeah.
They did what they could. And to me, I must say, one gun, and I know nothing about guns, but one gun looked to me as though it would never fire again in its life. But I can supply you with evidence of what it is worth, if you want it, given to me by Germans, saying that we did do our job.
Yeah.
I've got those quotes.
Right.
Because I got so angry with John Murray, the publishers, I eventually reduced them to silence and saying if they didn't shut up, they were going into the High Court, along with Jefferson, accused of conspiracy to defame, and I had legal advice that I would get a hell of a lot of damages. And that was that.
Story.
Yeah. Yeah. They never uttered another word.
Right.
The Entrevue, the plan.
The plan, yeah.
What do you want me to say? Would you describe what happened?
Yes, and just to get myself. I've got this map here.
Let me come in the very old show on. Not this day, but I have to have glasses for reading, which annoys me.
Well, I have to have glasses for reading too, and driving, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had them driving for long.
Yeah, years and years.
Can I put it there? Presumably you came, having finished with the battery, or you came down the road like that, did you?
No.
More like that.
No, we went through Auger. Yes.
Right.
We went, in fact,
yeah.
before. We started out on this one and cut across there and picked up that road there, that little cornfield. Yeah. And then from Rozier into the pan this way. Well, no, that way, sideways onto the chateau.
Yeah.
Of course, now it is all one village now. It's called the Plan. The road to Entreville disappeared, didn't it?
Well, I can't remember that.
Well, if you come down here,
it's all one village now,
and it's called the Plan. But the signpost there says about Entreville.
No, it doesn't exist anymore.
And the chateau doesn't exist either.
Yeah.
And how the walls do.
How far, and then what did you find when you got there?
Well, the first thing that happened was we hit the Germans at Auge.
Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Who turned out to be Russians with German NCOs and officers.
Really?
And we had quite a fight with them.
Yeah.
And we beat them under the... They came at us with machine guns and mortars, but we beat them, knocked them to one side, and then went to Entreville. And they were holding the village. Have you been there?
I've been through it once, actually, on my way up to Brodel.
Well, where? On your way up to Brodel?
Yeah.
So you went past the village green, where there's a modern school at one end on the green, not far from the church.
I did.
Where it's marked Chateau d'Entreville there.
Right.
It is a new housing estate now with the chateau wall around it.
Right.
And with the Germans in possession of at least half of that village, the only shelter that I could see were with my small bunch of people was that wall. For some reason the Germans had evacuated the chateau. The German smell was or German soldiers was very, very obvious. The place stank to heaven. The only thing was there was plenty to eat and drink. And so I took up the position with no reserve at all. The troops just spread out in a thin red line.
So you basically took up this all-round defence around the chateau wall?
Well, it could hardly be all-round defence. It was one line. One thin red line.
Well, round, like that.
Yeah, the only thing behind us was the German prisoners who were in the tennis court.
Right.
Which had a high wire around.
Did you occupy the chateau yourself?
I would have done, but I just smelt too much.
What was it? Everyone always describes it, and my father, who fought the First World War, said German trenches when you arrived in the smell. What was it? The soap they used?
It smelt like a mixture of must and vomit.
Really?
Yeah. If you could think, you could imagine that.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of taking some German blankets and wrapping myself in them. I threw them away. No, I wouldn't have, apart from that, I wouldn't have occupied and used the chateau. It was too much of a target.
Right, so you were in the chateau grounds, right?
Yeah, the wall, right on the edge of the wall, and the Germans were the other end. But then we did go out.
What sort of time was this, do you think?
We arrived there about 9:30 in the morning.
And then how long did you stay there?
Until, all that day, D-Day, the night of D-Day. And all D plus one, until 11 o'clock on D plus one, when Peter Young's number 3 commander relieved us. But in the meantime, I'd been down and met Sheeny Lovett at the bridge, footbridge. But we'd kicked the Germans out of the village. I made up small packets of chips and attacked them, and I think they thought we were much stronger than them.
So you didn't, and there's no way with what you had you could go on into the
was in a better position to make safe the end of the footbridge, staying where I was, than trying to going on to try and take the plan and probably losing a lot more men.
Was this footbridge over the Orme?
Yeah, probably.
Got it here. That one there.
That's it. Yeah.
So
the commanders came across there.
They were to come down like that.
No, they came down here.
Oh, that's right. They came across this bridge, didn't they? Yeah, went like this.
Yeah, they came down here.
And then we did that.
The not this bank, that bank.
Really?
Then they came across here. Yes, down here. I meant Simi. Down here, Simi.
Right. So, your task in taking up to the plan was really to secure a bridgehead for the commandos to come across that footbridge.
That's right. Yeah. Which I think we did.
Yeah.
Although they did put in an attack. How many men were in a troop, commandos, nurses?
60. Full strength.
A troop?
A troop was 60. 50 to 60.
Did they have companies? Not much.
No, they were a really half-baked organization. I wasn't able to, like, when I first joined, we had
them. Well, they must have... They put in an attack on a strong point. There was a strong point between the chateau and in a house. The Germans had made a strong point, which overlooked that bridge.
Yeah.
And they didn't let me know. I didn't know it until I went down and found all their bodies on the road. They failed to capture it. We, having already failed to capture it, and had a sort of half platoon written off.
Yeah.
I sent an officer down. And this is a lesson which, I don't know, some chaps never seem to learn. I said to him, Your job is to find out and to bring back information. You are not, repeat not, to get involved in fighting. He tries to burst his way and got killed. A lot of other people killed as well. But we then attacked that strong point from the back and they pulled out. But the commandos, judging from the casualties I saw on the road, which included a warrant officer, suffered very badly. They must have done the same thing, I suppose.
Then you having been relieved by number three, were you then told to go on up and walk up the road to Broville and take up all the...
No, I was told that, and then, somewhere around midday on the second day.
Right.
I got a message from James Hill.
Yeah.
Now, how did I get that message? Yes, I know. I sent out patrols to find containers, and we found a radio set in the container, and we managed to get in touch with brigade headquarters by radio. And I was told to take up position at the Chateau Saint-Colme. And the words were, which was to be held at all costs. I'll never forget those words. To prevent the Germans coming down over that high ground towards the main bridge, Pegasus Bridge. And by that time, middle of the afternoon, I was wandering around the green without a tin hat, with just a berry on, and we were really it off of real more. We were devoting our time to getting the snipers out. They were up at the church tower. The local party told me they weren't there, so I said, well, if you believe that, you go up the stairs first to the car. They were there, but they were dead.
Yeah. You then, what sort of time did you leave Onfreville and start walking towards the
2300.
Now that.
And you walked up the road past Brittle, which was then presumably empty.
We went through Brittle.
Well,
now we come to a point. I don't know whether you've discussed any of this with Napier Cookman.
No. I mean, I've heard Napier talk about these bad flood holes.
Well, don't claim
to talk about them.
Can I turn this off?
Yeah, sure. And you presumably not had a chance to recce where you were going to go. Did you have some idea of the map, how you were going to lay it out?
No, not a clue.
Right.
I literally took it off the map as
right. Right.
The only thing that I had decided was that I was going to come up the hill from behind through the Chateau St. Colin.
Yeah.
From the direction of our own troops, in other words,
right.
Wherever they may be from
yeah.
behind it.
Yeah.
But I did send my
yeah.
second in command on.
Right. Did you, from what I gather, I've been on that bit of ground with,
was the layout rather like that? Because you hadn't got many men, sort of companies like that.
More or less. Now, here again, you've got to be careful. Napier has made out a plan, which is, I've sent it back to him twice. It's a complete ball. I had one company there.
Right.
One there, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And one there.
One
yeah.
there. So this one here comes forward to about there.
Yes, I've got a plan. I can let you how
right.
it. I'll dig it out.
Right. That's right. That was an orchard, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, now it's, there are no trees in it. The trees are here.
Yes, right.
The
old drive was
yeah.
closed off.
Yeah.
The old drive was that one there.
Yeah. It's now differently
yes.
laid out, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's roughly it. But I'll do something about that.
And at that stage, you then took up position. Did you get attacks the next day?
Probing attacks. Very light.
Very long field of fire, all the
that problem, the question I ask myself, do I or do I not put people on that crossroad running down to one view? Do I
put people around that crossroad? Let me take the river with the air. My answer was, I don't have an answer, no, I don't. And I'd be too spread. And if I do put people out there, then they'll cut me in the right by coming across the
right.
Okay. Like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Derek Mills Roberts over here.
Yeah.
Peter Young
and Derek Mills all right.
Were both
right
over there.
So I decided that if they pushed down that road, which they did eventually, they'd have us on one side and your chaps on the other side, and Peter Lewis, 13th Battalion, to run into at the bottom.
Yeah.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And they got really, a really bloody nose.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem to me, from what I've heard, that the rebel was meant to be your problem anyway, was it? Was there a...
It was never clear.
Was there a divisional sort of... was there a hole, as it were, in the divisional order of who rebel was meant to be exclusive to?
Yeah.
It was exclusive to both brigades, and so nobody held it.
It wasn't covered.
It wasn't covered, yeah. That's what it seemed to me.
For the Balter. Now, going back to the point you made about the short field of fire, my orders were, firstly, there was to be no firing whatsoever at night, except on the order of an officer. In other words, nobody was to fire back if they were fired at. And any action at night, I tell the officers over my body would be given those orders. Any action at night would be knives or bends, hand to hand. And this worked because the captured people we captured, which included the acting brigade commander, the brigade commander was killed in early fighting. They didn't know where we were, except the general area, but they couldn't pinpoint us. And then the second part for daylight, there was to be no firing until they were at about 50 yards or less. And that was effective because they came at us shoulder to shoulder and we just held our fire. And then we let them have it with machine guns and rapid fire. And it was quite devastating. And I gather you did the same in Portland.
But I gave orders about 5 nights. I didn't execute the thing, saying and all.
Well, I did.
Then I said, "Fowls, behold, I particularly the machine guns that filled up our bivouacs and fuel their
engines." Yes, I think it's very important in that book. And I, in the daytime, I more or less I was on a don't fire till whites of their eyes.
Yeah.
But we did have some hand-to-hand fighting by day.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Especially on the right.
And, right, probing attack on day two. Day three? Day one, rather, the first morning you got there.
The second morning, I think they were battalion strength.
Yeah.
And then they just increased. Until, how to describe it? One has to be awfully careful that one's memory doesn't exaggerate this, but I don't think I'm exaggerating when one says that it built up to where we felt we were just going to be swamped and overrun.
Yeah.
They piled at them, but we were convinced one time that some of their troops had either been drugged or been drinking. They came across the field shoulder to shoulder, chanting. And the ox and bucks who eventually relieved us
scar. I think Napier has the scar. He was rather horrified when he was getting major, when he went up to have a look, I think. And a friend of mine called Bill Rickord, who was sent up with a company to help me after the rifles, he was horrified.
Were they still Russian or foreign chaps, or were they all Germans?
Oh, mostly Germans, or a few Austrians, yeah. Mostly Germans, all of them, regular Wehrmacht.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were straightforward people, and now I can only judge by the prisoners. There were one or two SS, there was one particular young bugger. We captured a young major who said to me that he demanded to be treated as per his rank, the Geneva Convention and everything else, and I was so angry I reversed my Sten gun and hit him over the face with it. And then I said, what about this? Giving him the piece of paper which ordered them to shoot our chaps hanging in the trees.
Right.
And said, no prisoners.
Yeah. From the Battery Regiment. Yeah.
Right. God, I was angry. Majority of them were okay.
Yeah. And they put in these attacks. Well, did they have just big guns?
Yeah. They had some tanks. They had some quite big French tanks they were using.
Yeah.
But they did have 21 Panzer division. It was a reorganized 21 Panzer. Because quite by coincidence, when I was running the European business operations for the American Navy in Newsweek, I wanted a man for Germany. The man I hired had been a squadron commander there in that battle.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And, I mean, their purpose was to get through to the British.
That's right.
Yeah. And they're having tried it from the start, so they were coming in from there.
That's right.
That was basically their aim.
Yeah.
Now, at what stage did the Black Water tell them?
We were relieved on the 13th. We got there on the night of the... I told you the 8th, and I'm just wondering whether we... I don't know if this up.
I think the Black Water appeared... I mean, the battle for Broken was the 12th. I always remember that.
Field down below, and he said, I'm going to attack little company across that field to those crossroads leading down to Morville that I pointed out to.
So where was he, where was his start line?